Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. What a blessing it's been. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. What a blessing. Just a sense of presence of the Lord in this place. And already hearing the messages of song and how that God has already ministered to our hearts through the singing. And now we want to look into the Word of God and present what the Bible has for us this morning. I believe God has a message for each one of us through the preaching of His Word. And we're going to be looking here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. We're going to start in verse 12. Go down to verse 12 with me. We'll read verse 12 down to verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. Paul writes to the believers at Corinth and he says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, we love you, Lord God, and thank you for first of all loving us. And we thank you for every opportunity that you make available to us just to draw closer to you. And Lord, for your presence in this place here today, we just sense it. We thank you for it. And now, Father, as we look into the precious Word of God in this book of 1 Corinthians and these verses that we've just read, I pray that you'd give each one of us insight into the meaning of these verses, and God, that you would empower the preaching of thy Word to speak to all that are here. I pray, God, that as we hear the Word, I pray that we would be willing to make whatever decisions that you'd prick our hearts about making today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As Paul writes to the church there in Corinth, we find that some of the members and possibly others had been influenced, and they were saying that there was no such thing as a resurrection of the dead. No such thing as life after death. Possibly the oldest question of the human mind. As we look back over the history of humanity, there have been many a question that man has had on his heart and in his mind. But possibly the oldest question of the human mind is there life beyond the grave? I would ask you this morning, what do you think? And then if you say, well, this is what I think, then I would have to ask you, what do you base it upon? Because there should be some type of a reason or a foundation to base what we believe. And believing whether or not there is life beyond the grave is a very important question to answer. We have to understand, we need to know, is this life all there is? Or is there life beyond the grave? That's what Paul's addressing here in 1 Corinthians. In the book of Job, you don't have to turn there, but many believe that the book of Job in the Bible, the Old Testament, is the oldest writing of the Scripture. It even was written before Genesis, before Moses, and God spoke to Moses to write the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Old Testament. Many believe that the book of Job is the oldest of the writings of the Scripture. And Job asked the question in Job chapter 14 and verse 14, if a man die, shall he live again? So the oldest of all the Scriptures, in the mind of Job, Job presents his very same question. Is there life beyond the grave? If a man die, shall he live again? Job answers that later on in the book of Job in chapter 19 in verse 25 and verse 26. And this is what he says. He says, I know my Redeemer liveth. And though after my skin, worms destroy this body. He says, once my body is decayed in the grave, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Now, I love that because Job had no doubt. Job had no doubt that there was a life beyond the grave, and that life beyond the grave is so much even more important than the life that we live today. That's why Job had his faith in God, and that's why he was able to live through all the trials and the tragedies that God allowed in Job's life. That's how he was able to accept the fact that all of his children died at one time. That's how he was able to accept the fact and to move on concerning he lost all of his wealth and he lost his health. He should have died. If it was not for God putting his hand upon Job, then Satan would have taken his life, but God would not allow that to happen. But he came to the very place of death. And the thing that allowed Job to get through all of that was his belief in there is life beyond the grave. That'll make a difference to you in the life that you live today. It made a difference in my life. It continues to make a difference in my life and what I look to as being most important, how I prioritize things in my life, what I do with my life. It makes a difference. What you believe concerning this age-old question, is there life beyond the grave, is very, very important. In watching TV this last week, I was watching the news and the forecast for the week ahead, and they don't know, but at least they like to predict it, you know. And they can predict yesterday's weather, but they can't predict tomorrow's weather. Who knows what it's going to be? But anyway, they do. They have a week's forecast, and all week long, the weather forecasters predicting weather for this Sunday, on Easter Sunday, to represent Easter Sunday, they had a cute little bunny rabbit. And that's what most people would do when they would see that. Oh, they would say, oh, how cute. A bunny rabbit to represent the most important event in all of history. And I knew I was preparing for this week and for this day. And I said, really? If that's what you think Easter is all about, you don't know what Easter is all about. A cute little bunny rabbit. After 2,000 years, that's where the devil has brought us in our mentality concerning the rapture or concerning the resurrection of Christ. I guarantee you those in that day, 2,000 years ago, I mean, it impacted Jerusalem like nothing has ever impacted Jerusalem. It impacted the whole world. It was known around the world what had taken place in Jerusalem. The man that was called the Christ cannot be found. The rock was rolled away and there was nothing after we saw him being crucified, and we know that he died and we know that he was put in a tomb. I can't find him. He's not in the tomb. It impacted the world some 2,000 years ago. It impacted the lives of those disciples at that point, because after that they never doubted whether or not he was the Messiah again. They never forsook him again. They dedicated their lives, and it made a difference in how they lived the rest of their lives. And every one of those apostles would have to suffer a martyr's death, and yet they were willing to suffer because they knew that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. They knew that they served a resurrected Savior, and it changed their life. It changed their mentality on living, because they knew that there was life beyond the grave. It impacted them. And for years to come, it was so much more than just a little cute bunny rabbit. In America, it impacted this United States of America to know that we served a living Savior, to put on our currency. In God we trust. To put on our calendar, and even to accept the Christian calendar that would date all the way back to Christ, and to place on that Christian calendar a couple dates that are very important that we remember. First of all, the very birth of the virgin-born Son of God, which is the date of Christmas. And then the date of the resurrection, Easter, a day that we acknowledge the fact that our Savior died on Calvary's cross and was placed in a tomb, but the cross didn't hold him and the tomb couldn't hold him, but he resurrected on that third day. It impacted our nation to that place that we said, this is going to be a part of what we are and who we are as the United States of America, a Christian nation, believing in a God that is alive today. But in 2013, Satan has so polluted the minds of mankind and so de-emphasize the importance of the resurrection, to now we come to the place just represents, it's represented by a cute little bunny rabbit. Lord help us. Now, I'm not against fun and games, and I'm not against Easter and Easter egg hunting. You want to do some of that? That's between you and the Lord. I'm not against that. That's not what the church is all about. But don't ever let that take the place of the true meaning. And why that we have established that date as a nation represent a resurrection, a resurrected Savior. So this morning, as Paul is writing there and we read this and we study this, and they needed to understand this even then, that the resurrection provides confirmation. That's what I want to preach to you about this morning, confirmation. Confirmation. The resurrection confirms that all that he taught was true. If you do not believe in the resurrection, what Paul's writing to those that said there is no resurrection of the dead, if you don't believe that there's life after the grave, if you don't believe in a resurrected Savior, and if you do not believe that believers resurrect from the grave as well, if you don't believe that, then basically, according to what Paul is saying here, that you can't be saved. Because part of being saved is believing in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and receiving him, believing that he died for your sins. He was buried and resurrected. That is the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Look what it says there. Led into what we read this morning as our text. Paul writes, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand." You hold to this. This is your belief. "By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, According to the Old Testament prophecy, there would come a Messiah. He would come, the Christ child. He'd be born of a virgin. He would live a sinless life. And something that was a mystery in the Old Testament was the fact that he would not come the first time to establish the kingdom. He would come the first time to be a sacrificial lamb. He would come to represent that sacrificial lamb that they would sacrifice in the Old Testament for the remissions of sin, to remember the Passover. And he would come to represent that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. He would come to represent him. And so he would come and he would die on Calvary's cross. But it also revealed that he wouldn't stay in the grave. The Old Testament prophecy revealed, and you can read it in so many passages of Scripture in the Old Testament, that he would resurrect from the grave. The grave would not be able to hold him. And so Paul says, what has been passed down, what has continued to be passed down to us and to be preached, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. A person that does not believe that cannot be saved. Matter of fact, in the book of Romans in chapter 10, when it tells us exactly what a person must do to be saved, that's part of what you have to believe. In Romans in chapter 10 and verse 9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, what are you confessing? That Jesus is God, that Jesus is a Savior, that I have need of him, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. You believe that, the Bible says, then thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you do not believe in the resurrected Savior, if you have not put your faith and trust in him, listen to me, whether you believe in a life after death or not, there is a life after death, and you will not go to a place of heaven after death if you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You not believing in a resurrection does not make it true. Truth is based on the Word of God and what God has established. He's established truth. And truth is that there is life beyond the grave, and there is a living hell, and there is a living heaven. Where you go will depend upon what you do with Christ. You have to believe him to be the resurrected Son of God who died in your stead to pay your sin debt. So he tells us there in 1 Corinthians, go back to me to our text here this morning. He was telling them, if you don't believe that, you don't believe there's life after death, then you can't be saved, because Jesus is proof. His resurrection confirms everything he taught to be true. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Christ, in verse 14, the Bible says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Preaching will become vain. Paul later on says it would be foolish to those who don't believe. If you don't believe that there is life beyond the grave, if you don't believe that there's a heaven and a hell, then you will not see the importance of preaching. And you might be here this morning and you're here because you want to please a friend. You want to please a parent. You want to please a child, whatever it might be. You might be here for that reason. And in here this morning, you're thinking, I don't believe in life after the grave. I don't believe in the resurrection. And right now you're thinking, what am I doing listening? It's foolishness. The Bible says that's what you'll think. So I know that's what you think. Amen? I don't have that insight. I don't know that outside of it's what God says, but God reveals it to us. If you don't believe that there's life after death and you think, why go hear somebody stand up and just scream and shout and spit and rave and whatever? What? I'm not going to do that. And yet to those that are saved, it becomes the power of God. That means that God works through it as long as the man preaching is preaching the Bible, the Word of God. We have been instructed to preach the Word of God, not just to preach, but to preach the Word. The Word has the power of God. It represents truth, and it is far beyond being vain. It's far beyond being foolish. It's what we need. It's the power of God to those who believe. But if you don't believe in the resurrection, then not only is preaching vain, but faith is vain as well. What is there to have faith in? Faith is in myself, what I'm able to do, what I'm able to accomplish. And I'm just going to focus on me, what I want. I'm going to focus on what I'm able to accomplish. And I'm going to get the most out of this life, no matter who I have to step on, no matter who it hurts, no matter what's taking place. It's all about me and mine. And so faith is empty. Have faith in a God, have faith in Christ, have faith in a belief, a religion. It's empty. That's what God says. That's what the Bible says. That's what Paul's preaching to them. If you don't believe in the resurrection, then you see all that do believe as being liars. Now, you might not call them a liar. In your mind, you're thinking, they're just deceived. They're brainwashed by that preacher. That preacher over there at that Lighthouse Baptist, he's brainwashing all those people to come in there. I don't have that ability. Neither do I want to do that. I want to preach the Word. Let the Spirit of God apply it to your life. But I know that's what they'll say, because that's what the Bible, verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So they were found to be false witnesses. This is really not true. He's telling people there's a hell and there's no hell. He's telling people that you have to do this and you have to do this. And no. But that's what someone that doesn't believe, that's how they view it. It's what the Bible says. Not only that, verse 19 states that all believers are pathetic. Look what it says. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, if there be no resurrection, if there is no life after death, we are of all men most miserable. Because we've based our entire life on there being a Savior. We've based our entire life on there being a place of heaven. So, if there is none, then we've been deceived and we've been living a lie. Pretty pathetic. But it doesn't stop there. Then Paul says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. He said, you think all that, but listen to me. It doesn't matter as far as truth. Your thinking is not going to change the truth. The truth is, Christ is risen. The best way to prove that God can raise the dead is to actually do it. And He did it. If Christ be risen, if God was able, we saw Him crucified, we saw Him die, we saw Him placed in a tomb. If He be risen, I can believe in it. I can know that God is able to raise the dead. I can know that there is life after the grave. See, because one of the other things he said in verse 18 was, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If Christ didn't resurrect, everyone who dies just dies. They're dead. They're done. They're done. But if Christ arose, then everyone will face an eternity. We just don't stop to exist. There is a living hell. And there is a living heaven based on the resurrection. Resurrection of Christ confirms it. It's confirmed. God raised up Jesus from the dead, confirming that all that He taught is true. Jesus was and is the Savior. He is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the virgin born Son of God, the only begotten, one of a kind. Heaven is real because he said it was real. Hell is real because he said it is real. He will return, John chapter 14, because he said he would return. There is a rapture of the church because he said there was a rapture of the church. Everything that he said is confirmed. But not only does his resurrection confirm that all that he taught was true, there was something else that took place. He presented himself to over 500, I believe. If you're there in that same chapter, chapter 15, in verse 6, it says, in verse 5 it says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then the 12. After that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then of the apostles. And so we find that Jesus was seen by a multitude of people that were able to testify that they actually saw the resurrected Savior. So what happened to his physical body once it was resurrected? Acts in chapter 1. Look there with me. I'm not going to be much longer, so follow with me. Get a hold of this. This is what the Word of God teaches. In Acts in chapter 1, Luke is used by God to write the book of Acts. He wrote the gospel of Luke, and then he continues that gospel with what takes place after the resurrection. In Acts in chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, all that he began to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After his resurrection, he continued to stay there and to teach the apostles. Until the day he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now they know beyond the shadow of doubt this is God, because he resurrected from the grave. And now they're listening very intently to everything he has to say, because those apostles would go on to turn the world upside down, the Bible says. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days after. They would get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that takes place the moment a person gets saved today. And when they therefore were come together and asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But he gave this commission. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had thus spoken, had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, physically. In a resurrected body, he was taken up. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. His resurrection also reveals that he ascended. After he resurrected, and after the 40 days that he spent here in a glorified body revealing things to the apostles, his ascension back to heaven afterward reveals and confirms that we will all be resurrected. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Visibly revealing himself is confirmation what will happen to his body. What happened to his body is what will happen to our bodies. Amen? The Bible says that we'll have glorified bodies. And we will be resurrected. We will be known as we were known in heaven. It's confirmation. Not only the resurrection, but the ascension of Christ is confirmation that we will be resurrected and we will ascend and we will be in a glorified body in the presence of the Lord. Wow. We can know that he's alive today. We can know that He is ever living to make intercession for all who simply believe in Him because of His ascension, His resurrection that led to His ascension. And there's one other thing that's confirmation. Confirmation to believe in the resurrection. Confirmation, understand the ascension of Christ. But there's confirmation that He established on the first day of the week. He resurrected on the first day of the week. In John chapter 20, and we're done. Look at John chapter 20 with me. He established the first day of the week, which is Sunday, as the Lord's day. He's taught them that He was Lord of the Sabbath. And for this New Testament church age, He would establish Sunday as the Lord's day. The Lord's day is a weekly confirmation that is true. In John chapter 20 and verse 19, then the same day at evening, after the resurrection, He resurrected on the first day, and then the week later, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. This is the first day of the week, the Sunday, that He had resurrected. And we find the disciples were together when He went unto them. And they were glad because it confirmed that this is the Messiah, the resurrected Savior. There was one disciple that wasn't there. You know what his name was? Thomas. And you know what he became known as? Doubting Thomas. Do you know why he doubted? He wasn't there. The first Sunday after the resurrection there, disciples were together, Jesus establishing the first day of the week as a Sunday to confirm our belief in Christ. All the rest of them were there. And they saw Jesus. They experienced time with Him. And they had faith, and their faith never wavered again. The only one whose faith was wavering was the one that wasn't there. Later on, we find that Thomas meets the Lord in verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 26, and after 8 days, again, His disciples were within, and Thomas was there, was with them on that Sunday. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said He to Thomas, Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto Him, my Lord and my God. Now he had faith. It was confirmed. Wow. Thomas had doubts because he had not experienced on that Sunday what all the other disciples had experienced. Can I tell you, when you stay away from the Lord's day that God has given to us, you will not be strong in your faith. I'm not saying you're not saved. You say, preacher, I have to go to church on Sunday to be saved. No, salvation is based upon what you do with Jesus Christ. But if you are saved, can I tell you something? You'll desire to be in church. If you are saved, you believe in the resurrection, you believe in Jesus Christ, and you want to meet with Him. You want to assemble yourselves together so that you might worship Him in spirit and truth. You might sing praises unto Him, and you might listen to what God has to say to us through the preaching of the Bible, the Word of God. Because all of that will help you to confirm your belief. Confirmation. The resurrection is confirmation. The ascension, what happened to His body? Confirmation. Everything He taught us was true. And not forsaking ourselves from the assembling of ourselves together. Every Sunday, we are confirmed. Once again, it's confirmed within us. because we sense the presence of God. We hear the message that God will use to prick our hearts, to keep us living as we ought to live, strengthening us through the truths of His Word, comforting us, helping us. Confirmation. Jesus knew what the disciples needed, and they all needed to see Him. A weekly experience. A weekly upper room experience as we assemble ourselves together. Don't live without. Don't live questioning whether or not there's life beyond the grave. It will affect how you live your life. It will impact your future. We have confirmation. All we need to do is believe and receive the gospel. Believing that Jesus was God. Believing that He died in my stead. Believing not only that He died and was buried, but He resurrected on the third day. Believing that He ever liveth to make intercession for me. We need to believe it and receive it. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, believing and receiving, shall be saved. Are you saved this morning? Do you believe and understand there is life beyond the grave? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. We have confirmation. The best way to prove that God can and will raise the dead is to actually do it. He's done it. It's confirmed. An empty tomb. 2,000 years of evidence, proof. Jesus resurrected from the grave. What Jesus taught, everything that He taught is true. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, right now, I believe, according to the Word of God, when the Word of God is presented, that God uses that to prick a person's heart, to convict you of your need of salvation, to reveal to you that what that preacher said is true, because all he was doing was preaching from the Bible, which is true, preserved by God for us to know who God is. If you've never received that as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never come to the place of salvation, today's the day. Don't put it off any longer. An invitation time we're going to give in just a minute is an opportunity to respond to what God's spoken to you about. If God has spoken to you, His Spirit bearing witness with your spirit, today's the day. Make that decision. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. And I pray right now, God, that You would prick the hearts of all that are here and reveal to them exactly what they have need to do. Encourage and help them to have the strength to step out of their pew and come to this altar and let somebody take a Bible and show them what You say they must do to be saved. Lord God, work in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.